Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And let's pray. Gracious Father, I ask you to calm the nerves, Lord, and would you just step in tonight? Really, Lord, though you know, we've taken time to prepare and plan and study this particular text and this passage, Lord, it's I can't do it justice. I need your Holy Spirit to speak through me. Really, would you speak to me? And Lord, just move in a mighty way tonight. Help us, Lord, to take what we hear tonight and apply it. And Lord, that we would be used by you in a great way for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' precious name I ask. Amen. Thank you very much. You can be seated. So if I had to put a title on this, I would title it, it's evidence of being with Christ, or evidence of being with Jesus. You know, just making quick reference to back again, and we'll go through it here in a second. But to the verse there in verse 13, right there towards the end, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So when we want to look at the story here, of course, the book of Acts is. We're right on the heels of Jesus Christ ascending up into heaven. We early in the very first chapter, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was on the mount, and he was giving his disciples the charge that, you know, that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, will be witnesses unto me. Then you find he ascends into heaven, and the next thing we see them selecting, of course, who would take the place of Judas and fill that slot as the 12th apostle. And then they move into Acts chapter 2, see the day of Pentecost and how God just moved in a mighty way. The church was just starting to just take off, and thousands of people getting saved, and just an amazing thing was taking place. If we get to Acts chapter 3... and you watch Peter and John coming into the temple. And this is kind of the doorstep, if you will, of what's going to take place in Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John are coming into the temple, and they see this lame man. And if you're there, I don't know if it's across the page or maybe the page before you, you can look at it where they're going into the temple, and they see this man lame. And he's asking, of course, for alms. And Peter, like you've heard a good Baptist said, you know, silver and gold have I none. Amen. Any Baptists with me on that one? Silver and gold have I none. Hey, but praise God, such as I have, he said, give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, rise up and walk. And what an amazing thing took place. This man received that strength, leapt up and started walking. What an amazing thing to watch happen, right? And of course, it wasn't Peter. It wasn't John. It wasn't any man. It was the key phrase was, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, as a result, we come to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. They spake unto the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. Look at this verse says in verse 2. And being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That word grieved actually is translated like worried. So these people were worried that they were talking about Jesus. And so what do they do in chapter 3 or chapter 4, verse 3? The Bible says they lay hands on them, threw them in prison. And they were going to try to figure out, what are we going to do with these men? They are causing a stir, if you will. They're preaching Christ. And right after this, even though they threw him in jail, the Bible says, howbeit, verse 4, look at verse 4, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Isn't that amazing? Yes, even though they were in the midst of what we would probably consider turmoil, right? If somebody came in here and took us for preaching the gospel, and yet out there 5,000 people got saved, we would consider that a pretty big deal. We should. Amen. It's a good thing when people get saved. And that's exactly what was taking place here as a result of these men preaching Christ. And But, you know, maybe a thought-provoking question that we could throw out here is, how worried are we making others that we tell people about Christ? You know? Are we grieving others that we are so full of the Spirit that we're preaching the gospel on a consistent basis? Oh, me. Oh, me. So they got put in prison. Nevertheless, 5,000 people get saved. And then we see in verse 5 and 6, the elders, and they came to pass on the morrow, the elders, the rulers, and the scribes, they all gathered together. Even the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many of the kindred of high priests, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, for the sake of my understanding this passage here, I kind of picture it as we would see maybe a Senate hearing. If you understand how that, anybody understand how that works, and they've got the person that's the witness or whatnot, the subject there. And so they're sitting there, and you got this panel, right, of senators. And most of these senators have been to law school, and they've been attorneys, and they've worked their way up. And now they're sitting there as almost an attorney, if you will, asking these guys questions. You've probably seen it maybe on TV play out on the news of some sort, and some of these high-profile cases. Well, let's imagine that, right? Here's Peter and John sitting there. And they're in front of these high priests and these Sadducees and whatever, and they're asking them questions like, hey, you know, who gave you the authority to do this? Right? Like, by what power are you out here doing this? And I love what Peter and John ask or answer. In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and the people of Israel, excuse me, and elders of Israel, If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Right? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the apostles, here's Peter and John, they're sitting there. They were in prison for a night, and now they're standing trial, if you will, for this particular act, right? And Peter boldly stands up and tells them, look, this isn't about this man getting healed. That's not what this is about. It's about Jesus. You know, and I love how the apostle was wise. And of course, the Bible tells us he was filled with the Holy Ghost, right? That he was filled with the Holy Ghost to say, hey, look, you may try to make it about this man here that was healed, but it's really about Jesus Christ. And then he proceeds to preach the gospel to him. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You know, Lord, help us to be like that. Right. Okay. And you'll see here as we go along through this particular study how we want to have this evidence, right? Because the apostles were, they were used by God greatly. And you'll see that, obviously, as you study the book of Acts, if you take the time to do that. But Jesus Christ was their message. Though they were under, and by the way, it, just like anything else, right? Just going back to this idea of them kind of questioning him, if you would, about this impotent man. Anytime, just humanity in general, we're happy when somebody gets healed, are we not? You know, I think about these videos they shoot now. You can see them all over on YouTube and whatnot, where somebody maybe had an organ donated, and you watch how that they've received this new life, if you will, and just how happy they are. And then they get to meet the family maybe of the person that donated this organ. You know, have you seen those? Anybody? And it's just happiness. You know, there's no, oh, well, are you a Christian? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? You know, nothing like that. All that goes out the window, right? They're just happy that this person has received life. And honestly, I guarantee you, deep down inside these high priests, like, they were happy this man is now able to walk. They watched him for years and years and years begging, right? And here comes Peter in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and heals him, right? So they were happy about that, but they knew there was a problem in their eyes. The problem was people were being saved. That's not a problem, we know. But according to them, it was. But I would like you to kind of look at some of these elements when the Bible tells us in verse 13 that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. What were some of those things that these apostles possessed or displayed, if you will, that we could work on, or we could pray the Lord give us, all right? Or evidence, if you would, of being with Christ. It's a byproduct, if you will. First of all, it's very plainly says it right there in verse 13. They saw the boldness. The boldness. Boldness would be frank, being frank, right? Not when I call you Frank, right? Have I ever called you Frank? Okay. A couple of young ladies, and they've been the recipients of me calling them Frank. She's even rolling her eyes over here because I've called her Frank before. But you know what I mean, right? We're talking about being for real, like being frank, being blunt, assuredness, right? The apostles were sure, Peter and John and these guys, they were sure that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Amen. They were sure of it. And it was as a result, it was as a result of them being with Christ, the Bible tells us. They noticed this. They noticed their boldness, and they noticed that these guys. And here's just an interesting side note. Holy Spirit made sure to put it and pin it in the scriptures for us. Perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I think he did that for me. Hey, you can be used, right? Sometimes, thank you for laughing. That gives me a little bit of comfort there. But, you know, sometimes, think about these guys, okay? Let's go back to that setting. The attorney, you know, they'd worked their way up. These guys knew the laws inside and out. They'd been to school, whatever, 12 years worth, whatnot, right? They're smart. You and I know when we see in a courtroom setting, you see an attorney up there, and you go into their offices, and they got all these books lined up, and they know them inside and out. They, you know, these guys are smart guys. But it was those guys that were confounded, because here's these men that are just bold and unashamed of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried and rose again, and I'm going to preach him no matter what you say, you know? And so that gives me a little comfort, and I hope it gives you some comfort and understanding that, look, you don't have to be the greatest individual in the world for God to use you, you know? And they may come around someday and question what you're doing, but if you've been with Christ, then the boldness is going to come through. God, give us that boldness. Amen? God, give us that boldness, that frank. Hey, it doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did for you because I love you. And, you know, ultimately, you need to hear it. And ultimately, if you're not saved, you need to repent and trust Jesus Christ. Right? That's the message. That's our message. But we have to do it with boldness. Well, where's the boldness come from? Being with Christ. Next, we could see that they couldn't help but preach Christ. That was another evidence that you could see as you read through this text. We saw it in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Also in Acts chapter 4, verse 2. And there's other verses, but just simply in this area of this text, even in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when they were standing on trial, it didn't take long for Peter to kind of get brushed all that aside and say, you know what? This is about Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation, he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. He preached, it didn't matter. He couldn't help but preach Christ. You ever been around somebody like that? Where it, you know, it just kind of oozes out of them, you know? You know why that is, right? They've been with Christ. You know, it's kind of like the new believer, you know, syndrome, they call it. God help us to keep that fresh in our lives, but... You know, that new believer syndrome, if you will, where they, I mean, it's just bubbling out of them, man. They got that, I mean, they're in discipleship classes. They're going through it, man. They're growing. The Lord's just, I mean, they're pumped, right? And they can't help. They come to church, pray for my coworker. I'm trying to get them. I want them to see them saved. And why? They've been with Christ. May that be the case with us. Well, you just can't help but preach Christ. You just can't help but preach him. And that's what we saw here, what you see here in these apostles. Next, when you experience the power of Christ, you won't be persuaded to stop. Look at chapter 4, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Look at Peter's response, Peter and John's response. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. You know, that's pretty good right there. You know, they were being told, right? Again, take yourself back to that setting. You're sitting there on trial. The senators are sitting there and they're like, hey, buddy, you know what? We've kind of convened. And it's funny if you just kind of read the preceding verses to all this. They were like, what are we going to do with these guys? You know, they sent them out. They were like, what are we going to do? They're having this little conversation, trying to figure out what to do. And they're like, okay, let's bring them back. They bring them back and they say, now don't say anything else about Jesus. Right. You know, okay. But Peter and John are like, you know what? You can judge whether or not it's right for us to listen to you or not. But we can't help but say the things that we've seen and heard. Yeah. Again, when you've been with Christ and when we've spent time with the Lord, it's just going to come out. You can't help it. You can't just help but speak the thing. You will not be persuaded to stop. Now, we've all heard the illustration. Okay, what if the communists come in with guns and they put it to your head and all that? Now, I personally don't believe that's going to happen in my lifetime. I mean, I hope it doesn't. But regardless, you know what? Your own flesh gets in the way. Sometimes that's the worst enemy. That's the worst enemy than a communist. Our flesh will step in and say, ah, you got to tell them. You don't need to tell them. Now's not the time. Anybody with me? You know, sometimes we can be persuaded not to preach Christ. But God help us to be with Christ, to spend more time with Christ to where our flesh and the situations and whatever it is, the world, the flesh, whatever we would be fighting, whatever would be in our way to persuade us, couldn't persuade us. That would be the evidence of us being, we couldn't be persuaded to stop. Moving on. Number four, the results of being with Christ, of course, will be a unified heart with great power and great grace. Look at the end, of course, towards the end there in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness in the resurrection of the Lord and Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. See, now you're starting to see some unification happen. You know, when we come as a body to the local church, there ought to be some unification. And, you know, may I commend you, because it is very evident. And I know it goes all the way up to the top with the leadership, Pastor Metzinger. You know, you guys have a heart for seeing missions, seeing the gospel preached. And that doesn't just happen. There's evidence that his people, you guys, everybody, the body here in South Knollwood have spent time with Christ. There's unified. You're unified in that. You know, many of you have said, I can't wait to come up there and I'm praying for you. I can't make it, but I'm praying. And, you know, there's something that to be said about that. And we commend you on that. Praise the Lord for that. That spirit, that heart, that unification, that great grace, that great. But you know what? You're going to understand that when you spend time with the Lord, that's what happens. You can't help but love the things that he loves. That's what comes as a result of being with Christ. That unified and that great power and great grace. They had all things common there. Right here towards the end, number five. There was a personal investment in the gospel and sacrifice, right? Keep reading in verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, brought the pieces of things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was named Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I mean, this was pretty incredible stuff. You know, for these guys to just sell their land and sell their houses, and they were bringing it all. Why? They wanted to see the gospel just go forward and push forward. It was not because they just heard a sermon, right? The emotional, let's just make a decision, and that's not what it was. These men and these women had spent time with the Lord, and they had been with Jesus. And as a result of their fellowship of the leaders of the apostles here, then they saw that, hey, there's a boldness here, and there's this determination to preach the gospel, and I'm going to now invest in that. And there was sacrifice involved. You know, a church like this doesn't take place, and churches like Ironwood and Cotton, it doesn't take place without the investment of God's people and the sacrifice of God's people. It's very humbling to watch in action. And guys like Brother Keith and you know, his brother Tim and the missionaries, Brother Mike Schmidt, out, all those guys, they understand that. I promise you. You go around and you see the investment of God's people, how humbling that is. That doesn't just happen. We got to spend time with the Lord. Maybe you might be here tonight and struggling with that a little bit. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to convict you, and He's been working on you to maybe step out a little bit more. You know what? Keep spending time with the Lord. Keep spending time in His Word. Keep reading the Bible. Keep asking the Lord to guide you. Keep growing. Keep coming. Keep being faithful. And you'll see. You will see, I promise you. There's going to come a time where that investment is going to take place. Now, I guess this is kind of a conclusion, if you will. But I want to make reference, and you can take, and if you're taking notes or whatnot, maybe just mentally put it in your head. But in Acts chapter 18 and Acts chapter 19, we read about the Apostle Paul. Okay? And the Bible says the Apostle Paul mightily convinced. In Acts chapter 19, it says all heard. In Acts chapter 19, it also says the word of God prevailed. You know what? We can kind of follow that line. It's a trickle down, if you will. You think if Peter and John wouldn't have been with Christ and they had that boldness, do you think that down the road we would have an Apostle Paul? It's just a question that's out there. I mean, obviously that was the way it is, and that's the way it happened. But what Apostle Paul will you have an opportunity to invest in today? You know, we're talking years down the road. We may not see it. I mean, at this particular junction, when we're talking about the Peter and Paul, Saul was no doubt out slaying Christians or whatnot, right? Like, we know that that's what he was before he got converted. Anybody know that, right? Maybe he was one of the guys sitting there, you know, asking the questions. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But we know that sometime down the road, the Apostle Paul was converted. And it was also a direct result of these men taking the gospel, obeying Christ, preaching the gospel. I mean, their investment, their sacrifice, and the church was growing strong, and the Apostle Paul was saved. And now the Bible tells us in Acts 19 that all they heard. What an amazing deal. Wouldn't you like that, to have that on your resume? You know? Because I spent time with the Lord, it may not be you, right? I'm okay with that. It may not be me. But if my children or my children's children are able to say, you know, everybody in Kansas heard, right? Do we think it's possible? And God can, right? We're the knuckleheads that kind of hold it back. I mean, I think we're the weakest link in all this. My encouragement, my charge to us tonight, to each and every one of you here, is let's get in the Word of God. Let's spend time with Him. Let's love the things that He loves. He loved His church, the Bible says. He gave Himself for it. He loves the sinner. He gave Himself for those that for all God. He loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love the things that He loves. And we will see the investment, right? The boldness that we can see determination no matter what. I go back to probably my greatest enemy would be my flesh, right? Kind of keeps me at times from preaching the gospel like I should. There could be a number of other things, but may we not be persuaded to stop. May we have that boldness. May we have that willingness to be unified in our hearts as a church, as a body, as His people, to see the gospel go forward. And praise the Lord for His word.